cry to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah has gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited. And waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it will be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, it is right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he says. And I am so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand and their left, and also many animals? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to hear your voice this morning, and thank you for the time we spend around your table. Thank you for your word. And Father, we pray that we will not be distracted, that we will be able to be focused on you and your message. Fathers, we need you. So Father, we place into your hands our time together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As I said, we have been studying the book of Jonah, so we are finishing up in Jonah today. And this last part of Jonah is confusing for some people. So what is Jonah talking about here? And it's like when we don't understand events in our lives, something happened here. Now, we have studied that Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a man of God. Jonah knew God's mercy. Jonah knew God's grace. But also, we read in this book about how God has to use string measures to get Jonah to repent and obey. But as we read, we could see he's confused. He's, what's going on? So when we read, some people say, what is this book all about? I don't know any single preacher, any single pastor, any single evangelist who wouldn't be overjoyed if an entire city repents. 120,000 people. But Jonah is not. He's angry. Kill them, Lord. Basically, that is what he is trying to do. That's what he's saying. So we read, but to Jonah, this seems to be very wrong, and he is angry. He is very, very angry. And then I just want you to think about ourselves for a moment. This is Jonah. This is how the chapter starts. Jonah doesn't understand what's going on, and he is angry. Now, let me show you some pictures if I can't. You remember when sometimes we have, remember the September 11, remember the London bombing, or you remember a couple of years when we have pictures. Today is not working this. Oh, no, that's it. You remember that picture? The images of children being washed up on the seashores of Europe. Hundreds of thousands of people fleeing and then going, and then these children, people say, I don't understand. Why is this happening? Oh, 1 year ago in Manchester, The young people, they were just, you know, having a good time. And we know 1 year ago what happened. So sometimes we say, we don't understand this in our lives. When we don't understand events in our lives, the first thing many people tend to do is to question and argue with God. One thing is clear in this book is that everything was appointed by God. The storm was appointed by God. The big fish was appointed by God in his sovereignty. And now, today, we are going to be reflecting upon this plant. The plant was appointed by God. The heat was appointed by God. So God, in his sovereignty, he knows everything. Even the bad things happening in our lives, he knows it. So for me, I think if it's better to work with the one who is sovereign, who the one who is in control, rather than goes against him. Jonah has been an agent. God said, I want you to go there and preach what I'm going to ask you to preach. Jonah, instead of being happy, he's angry. But God said to Jonah, it is right for you to be angry about the plant. Now this is the plant, and Jonah is angry. And then Jonah said, yes, I am angry. I want to die. That's what we read here. People say, well, what is this confusion? What is the lesson here? You know, the Lord says, what is happening to you? You take pity on this plant, and I cannot have compassion on these people and animals in that city. So what's the point here? I want you to take a look of the plant. Let's picture, like today, we show the children the whale or the big fish. Now about the plant. Because the plant that God created to shape Jonah was an act of grace. God here perhaps is trying to say, you don't deserve it, Jonah. You are moaning all the time. You have been horrible. But I'm gracious. I'm going to give you a plant. And here perhaps is for us, God is trying to show us about grace. Saving grace is the grace that we receive when we surrender our lives to God. And common grace is the grace for everyone. In the gospel we read that God causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. So that's the reason why God, the moment we sin, God doesn't destroy us because his grace. He wants to give us time to repent. That's grace. Now, if you have a job, everyone has a job here, that's grace. Do you have a house? That's grace. Do you have a car? A bike? A scooter? That's grace. if you see, sometimes we don't. Can you do this with me? That's grace. Believe me, this is very different. In January, in hospital, they have to put me oxygen here because I wasn't able to do that. So I give thanks to God. I can do that. Grace. Now, that is something we need to understand, that the Bible said that he holds us, our very breath, in the palm of his hand. And so this plan here represents any sort of grace or gift from God. Because Jonah is moaning, he doesn't deserve it. And let's be honest, how often we forget the gift of God? God tells Jonah, be happy about it. He was unhappy with God's grace toward the people in Nineveh. But he was concerned about that plant. Now, let's forget about Jonah. Let's talk about us. If a lazy, incompetent person in your workplace get a promotion and you don't, how will you feel? Don't answer that. If that person that you know, he or she doesn't deserve anything, he is horrible, she is horrible, and they seem to be without problems, everything goes so well, how do you feel? Don't answer that. Maybe God is telling us, I want to give them grace. Sometimes we see John as, oh yes, that's, you know. But the Bible tells us not to be envious of them or not to be angry. Psalm 73, check it, and you will see how God deals with the psalmist. He has blessed them. Instead, we should look at the opportunity to say, God is gracious. Now, let's think about ourselves. Everything is okay in our lives. Our job is right. I ask you about, you have your job, your car, your health, and suddenly God removes your blessings. Suddenly, an unexpected bill comes. Sometimes, most of the time, they come. Suddenly, you know, a sickness strikes us. Suddenly, we lose a loved one. What happened then? When we don't understand events in our lives, the first thing is we tend to question God, but the second thing is that we show what is inside our heart. This is what is happening here with Jonah. You know, Jonah's problems is that oftentimes our problems, sometimes along the line we say, well, I am good, I deserve God's blessing. I am okay, we feel that we are better than other people, and we are not. God is gracious. Like the plan that shared Jonah, the grace of God comes to us without any labor on our part. It comes to us without, we don't produce it, we don't make it. But we feel that it's right for us to be blessed. That's the reason why I have a problem with the prosperity gospel. That I said that you come to God and everything will be okay. No. In the book of Job, chapter 2, verse 10, a wonderful book, the book of Job, he says, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Now, Jonah, God said, I caused the fish to swallow you, and then I caused it to put you out on dry land. I sent you to Nineveh, and 120,000 people got saved, and the only thing you care is about is a stupid plan? Maybe that's what God's saying. Remember, God, this book causes us to think about God's perspective of things. Because sometimes God blesses us with so many things and we become so enamored. So we love them so much. We don't want to leave them. Maybe that's what happens sometimes in our life. Jonah is so happy with that shade, that little spot, that comfortable place. And he doesn't care about the rest. He doesn't care even about God. He cares about the blessings. Here, the deal is that Jonah got upset with the thing that gave him comfort and made him happy. It was something that God gave him and not God himself. Jonah has found his happiness in the comfort under that little tree. And now, you know, why is, it seems to me I agree with the idea that Jonah is angry because he's finally seeing himself for the very first time. God has shown Jonah what he really is. You know who is Jonah? Jonah is a selfish, self-centered, arrogant person. He is an idolater. He worships now the plant. And he doesn't care about the rest. And God is saying, look, you care about the plant. Shouldn't I care about 120,000 people? They don't know what to do. It seems to me that the Bible, you know, when I read the Psalms, when I read books like this, shows human nature. It shows me, in particular, about those who call ourselves believers. And sometimes we don't realize that we have hostility against God. All the way through, Jonah is showing hostility against God. And you know, the moment we don't want to obey God, we don't want him, you know, we don't want his will in our lives. We want him to do what we sense he has to do in our lives. We show what is inside our hearts. As I said before communion, the theologian Henry Nouwen describes human nature as a clenched fist. That's our nature. We, you know, we say, God, you got it wrong. Why you did this to me? I cannot do that, said Jonah. I cannot preach that message. They are going to kill me. Send somebody else. The dictionary defines hostility as a state of enmity or warfare. And in Jonah is standing before God with a clenched fist. He doesn't want to do God's will, but his will. There is a daily war inside us and in our hearts, because there are things we don't understand in our life. Therefore, our peace is gone. And maybe like Jonah, we could be angry. And then we lose our peace. And then we said, why? I don't understand this event. It is right. We are humans. I must confess, when I saw, how many of you remember September 11, the day that you saw the news? I still remember the place I was on the underground, and I remember that I said, the world will not be the same again. And sometimes I wonder why, and then other things happening in words, and sometimes you wonder. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. You know who is my peace? Jesus Christ. I don't know if that's your peace. Because if we don't have that inside us, we are going to look for something else in our lives. Maybe you look something else in drugs. You will look something else in alcohol. You will look something else in sex. You will look something else in religion. For he himself is our peace. That's what Ephesians says. Now in Ephesians 2:8 that we learn at Sunday school, by heart. I remember going to Sunday school and we have to repeat it by heart. We say it together. For it is. It's not my religion. Jonah says, I hate these people because they eat pork. Maybe that's what I said. They eat unclean animals. They don't dress like me. I hate them because they don't go to the temple to do their liturgy. So, you know what he's showing? Prejudice. He's a racist. He has proud, his pride. You know, they are not Jewish. They have not kept religious and law regulations. But they have experienced your love and mercy. Why? Well, finally, today, I think in this book, we need a message. We have a message for God's mercy and grace is always available. This is what the Lord says in verse 11. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell the right hand from the left? And there are also many, even the animals. What a wonderful thing that we have here. He's concerned about the animals. Everyone. But as I conclude this morning, here is how we apply this. Sometimes God wants us to work with him so we can see ourselves as we work for him. But we tend to think that we are okay. We are so perfect. We are holier. We are better than other people. And to be honest, sometimes we know less than them. Now let's think about Jonah. Where Jonah was first? When he was fleeing from the will of God, he was on that boat. And what happened to the sailors? They were converted. He said, wow, this is the true God. Jonah was in obedience? No. What happened when Jonah leave the big fish and go to preach? What happened to the people? They were converted. Jonah is okay? Let me tell you, no. He is still struggling. God invites us to come as we are, to use us, and to change us in the process. That is what we see here. Jonah is being changed. We have experience in God, and we learn the first reality. God is at work at all time. And he wants to use us. He's using Jonah. He wants us to go and preach the gospel. Do you remember the message of Jonah? It was only seven words. 7 words. He says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That was the message. The writer Dorothy Sayers once says, hell is the enjoyment of one's own way forever. Jonah wants to do it his way. Sometimes we want to do it our way. And Jonah is like this. God, you got it wrong. So I'm going away. Even when God showed him mercy, he's still saying, God, you got it wrong. He wanted to do it his way. Hell is the enjoyment of a person's own way forever. You know, like C.S. Lewis put it more powerfully when he said, there are only two classes of people in the universe. Those who says to God, thy will be done, like my Lord Jesus did in Gethsemane, like we are supposed to do. And then there is another group of people, those who says to God, God will say to them, thy will be done. Enjoy condemnation. And we, sometimes there are things we will never understand. In which class are we? I grew up in a society that people seek for justice, and some of my friends, they want to join the revolution to get justice against societies that they are not fair. Some of them, they die because they want to do it their way. Jonah wants to do it his way. Our last hymn today is a very old hymn that says, the title is, thy hand of God has guided. God has been all the time speaking to Jonah. Come on, Jonah. I want to do it my way. And get God use him. He wants to use you. Are you perfect? I'm not perfect. But this old hymn, one verse says, thy mercy will not fail us. That mercy didn't fail Jonah. And Jonah is called again and again. And he says, no, leave thy work undone. Jonah, you need to preach what I ask you to preach. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Lord wants us to preach the gospel. With thy right hand to help us. Is the Lord with us? It was the Lord with Jonah, and the whole city was converted. And they says, the victory shall be won, and then by men and angels, thy name shall be adored. I cannot imagine the king of Nineveh saying, oh, you are the Lord. The result of what? Preaching. Faithfully what God asked Jonah to preach. And they say, thy name shall be adored, and this shall be their anthem. One church, one faith, one Lord. There are not many churches here and there. No, the church of Jesus Christ is the church that says, thy will be done. I follow what the Bible says. Nothing else. Nothing more. Oh no, Lord, you got it wrong. No, that's not the one church. It's the church that surrendered to and have faith in their Lord, Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you ask me, what is it that, what will be our message? The message of Jonah was 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. This is my Lord Jesus before he goes to heaven. He's with the disciples. He appears to the disciples and Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That's what we preach. That's what we commemorate today. And then he says, repentance. Shall we read verse 47? And repentance. We are preaching in Bangor. We are going to be preaching in Liverpool, in London, in Belfast, in New York, in Berlin, everywhere. This is what Jesus called us to preach. As I conclude, I just leave you a few questions. Has God spoken to you today? Is He spoken to you? Has God spoken to us as a church? Is He talking? Is He saying something to us? What has He called us to do? Who has God called you to go to? To your friends in college, university, your family, your friends, those students who go back home now, and or maybe somebody will be going now to China, to Japan, to Africa. The purpose of the book of Jonah is to show God's glory. Somebody said, well, Jonah was converted. I think Jonah received the message. He was the author of the book to show us his journey. There are two classes of people in the universe. Those who says to God, thy will be done, the saints. And those whom God says, thy will be done, the sinners. I wonder, in which class are we? Let's spend a moment in prayer. Lord, thank you for the story of Jonah. It's not a children's tale. It's not a children's story. It's a story for us to see your grace, your love, your mercy, your glory. Father, when we have events in our lives, help us not to go against you. Oh, Father, help us not to show who we are, but help us to run to you for your grace and mercy. We know that you have prepared for us wonderful things for our families, even if we feel inadequate. I pray for that person this morning that sense is not ready, she's not ready to obey you completely. Father, this person could see in Jonah that you invite us to go out into our communities to share your love, your grace, your mercy. And as we go, you will change our lives. So, Father, help us to be people who said, thy will be done for your glory. Amen.